From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Here's a quiz about an actor whom you may know better than you think you do. Can you recognize this voice? Here he is first playing Father Mulcahy in the Robert Altman movie MASH.
Hawk, I should check with the military vicar's office. You see, I cannot give absolution to a man who is about to commit suicide. It's a mortal sin.
Second clue. Here he is as Clayton Endicott III from the 1980s TV sitcom Benson.
Personally, I always hated being dragged to the zoo when I was a child. I particularly dreaded the monkey house. The stench would make a spy talk.
I'll skip a cut of Odo from Star Trek's Deep Space Nine series and go straight to Molière's The Imaginary Invalid, now showing at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are privileged to witness tonight a unique occasion, an attempt on the world speed record for performing my early one-act farce, The Flying Doctor. I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that you will never have witnessed anything like it in the entire annals, ladies and gentlemen, the entire annals of the history of entertainment. 45 minutes boiled down to 5. On your marks, get set, go.
That is Tony Award-winning actor René Auberjonois, and those are just some of the countless characters he has played in a varied and very successful career that started almost 50 years ago. Actually, more than 60 years ago in a school performance of The Muffin Man.
We had just moved to Paris after the war. My father was a foreign correspondent, and at the end of the school year, we had to do a little performance for our parents, our families. I think it may have been because I wasn't very good with the tambourine or the triangle or the wooden stick, so I was given the job of conducting it, and I had a pencil, and I stood in front of all the other students, and we played, "Do you know the Muffin Man, the Muffin Man?" And I made little gestures, and then at the end, I took the applause as a conductor, and when my parents came to pick me up, I said at that time, I want to be an actor. And I think it's because even then I realized that I couldn't really conduct, but that must be what acting was. So that's what I'm...
So you had settled on acting.
I settled very early, and luckily, because my father's a writer and my grandfather was a painter, and then when we moved back to the States, we grew up on a road, South Mountain Road, that read like Who's Who in the American Theater. There was always sort of an acceptance of the fact that, oh, it's okay, you can go into a business where you're not expected to earn any money. So,
that road. Was this Helen Hayes was on the road?
Helen Hayes actually wasn't on that road, but John Houseman and Burgess Meredith and Lotta Lenya and, well, Maxwell Anderson, and there were a lot of wonderful writers and cartoonists, Bill Malden. I used to babysit for all these people, Milton Caniff, and it was an amazing place.
An artist's community.
Yes, very fertile.
Well, at some point, you obviously turned this almost lifelong ambition to be an actor into a going thing and into what you studied at Carnegie Tech, as it was.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it was really because of South Mountain Road, because one of our neighbors was John Houseman. And when I was 15 years old, I remember Norman Lloyd, wonderful actor, his daughter was my age and was a friend, and she was going on and on about the fact that she was going to be an apprentice at the Stratford Shakespeare Festival in Connecticut, and I was so jealous, I couldn't believe it, and I did that sort of thing that teenagers do. I sort of fantasized that, and I started telling my friends that I was actually going to go with no basis in truth. And one night the phone rang at dinner. My dad hated it when people called during dinner, and he got up and answered the phone. He said, "It's John Houseman," and my heart sank because I knew I was caught in my lie. It all came through, and I went to the phone and I said yes, and I heard John Houseman's voice say, "René, I just wanted to tell you how pleased I am that you're going to be with us this summer." And they had, of course, arranged it all with my family, and so that was my first professional gig.
And that accent you're imitating, that's a St. Louis accent, I believe.
That was a very bad imitation of John Houseman. I'm so bad at that. And I can do a little bit of Katharine Hepburn because I worked with her. And I, But
in Coco, this was the
yes, Coco.
You worked with Katharine Hepburn
decades ago.
I first saw your name, Renée Auberjonois, a credit in the Altman movies. Mm-hmm. And working with Altman, was it special? Was it easy?
Bob Altman loved actors. He loved everything about them, and that's not true of a lot of film directors. A lot of great film directors don't really trust actors or like them. Bob was a real collaborator. You could suggest anything to him, and he would consider it. You never felt put down, and you were always welcome to make any kind of suggestion. I mean, the prop man could watch a scene and say, well, what if you did that? What if you said that? And Bob would go, yeah, okay. Everybody felt like they were very important. Everybody, even if they had one line in the film, well, of course, nobody had one line because you were all talking at once. Mm-hmm. But just an extraordinary kind of very unique way of working.
I mean, do you always feel, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's stage or movies or television, that it's all acting, that it's all of a piece? Or are there things that are just much more genuine and much more important to you than other things? If you could be on Broadway all the time, would you be on Broadway all the time or television?
No, I would not. In fact, having just finished a week of doing 8 performances in 6 days and 5 of those performances in 3 days, the truth is I was saying to my wife, you know, she asked how the week went, mm-hmm. and I said it was fine. I said, you know, there's a little part of me from having done so much television that sort of feels like, well, that's a print, that's a wrap, let's go, you know. And I said, and I'm really enjoying the run and the challenge of keeping the bubble underneath the performance. But I know it's going to be a challenge to do it for the next 6 weeks or so. And
so my experience of the play, The Night I Am There, that's a unique moment
definitely
for that play.
I will say to you that you saw it on the press night. I knew that I was nervous. I was tense about the fact that I was being judged. I've said to my kids, you know, if my career depended on the reviews I'd gotten over my lifetime, I would probably be working in a bank in New Jersey, because I don't know if this is revealing more than I should, but when I get a good review, I feel like I got away with it. And when I get a bad review, I feel like I got caught.
They found me out, you say.
They found me out. So there's no, it's a no-win situation.
It sounds like you're saying the first 40 years in the theater are always the toughest.
It just never gets easier.
Renée Auberjonois is performing at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. in Molière's The Imaginary Invalid.